It's episode 4031, Leaning Toward Wisdom. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. You'll find today's show notes at episode 4031. Just go to the website, plug into the search this website box, the number 4031. Today's title, a two-word strategy for improved popularity and fame and other forms of success.
Shrink you to
It's the voice of Amy Mann, a 1999 record, Magnolia. The song is Wise Up. It's not going to stop, not till you wise up. That's what this is all about. And why do you think the website's called Leaning Toward Wisdom? We're trying to wise up. A two-word strategy for improved popularity and fame and other forms of success. And as always, I'm going to bury the lead. You knew that I would. I will give you a warning. Rambling alert. This might take a while. But you know me. I'll connect the dots. I always do. I grew up aware of Norman Vincent Peale, Dale Carnegie, Brian Tracy. You know, there were other authors and guys of that genre, the self-help genre. I don't remember hearing the phrase personal development until, I don't know, many years later. That section of the bookstore continued to grow, that self-help section, and grow and grow and grow. And for a regular bookstore junkie like myself, it was noticeable. And even if I didn't loiter in that section too long, and I didn't, I never did, you could just tell it's expanding. Here's another row given to this genre. Lots of experts, lots of people telling us how life should be lived. Many of the titles and the covers just struck me, mostly as hokey. They still do. I giggle slightly even to this day when I walk past one of my own bookshelves that has books whose titles look more like current blog post titles designed to get clicks. Whatever works, right? Write a title with a promise. Use words like success and secret. I mean, it's a tried and proven formula. And I confess I've bought more than my share of these titles. I will also confess that I have not completely read that many of these books because many of them, they just can't hold my attention for more than a couple of chapters. But the titles, you know, the titles, they still serve as inspiration. Well, they really serve more than that. They serve as proof of our collective and my individual idiocy. I think they prove that more than they prove anything. And by now, you know how cynical I really am. I talked about it very candidly in the last episode, 4030. You can go back and give that a listen if you want, my INFJ coming through. Some might even call me jaded. I should change my middle name to Jade. No, it's not Jade. Jade sounds too feminine. People taking life seriously. Or are they? I mean, how seriously can it be if the book contains sentences like these? Make just one wish and suddenly your life changes. Just be certain it's the right wish. So we're really going to treat our lives like a magic genie. We're really going to go around making wishes with the pressure that we just have to get it right. Yes, yes, we are. People taking themselves seriously. He says, I want to impact thousands of people. Another says, I'm trying to inspire millions of people. I think my message, he says, can help everyone. I just tried this project to help people, and it kept growing because people kept asking me for more and more. It's the whole, I'm so special that the world can't help but notice me syndrome. I mean, there are too many syndromes to catalog, really. I have a 7-volume set that I myself have written since 1972, and keeping it updated, well, that's just about as daunting as one guy trying to manage all those Wikipedia pages. It's an impossible task. I mean, does it really take a puffed-up sense of oneself in order to be popular? Hey, it's just a question. I'm just asking the question. Does it take a puffed-up sense of oneself in order to be popular? I do have some backstories, and of course you knew that I would. When I was a teenager, I had a few encounters with people of some notoriety. I mean, we'll just say that they were people who did have some public persona. I'm thinking in particular of a college football player who was quite noteworthy. No, I'm not going to name him, and I'm not even going to tell you where I was. My encounters proved, though, that what you see is not always what you get. And enter more trite truths like, things, well, and people, aren't always what they seem. By the time I was a high school senior, I was smitten with this whole chicken and egg mystery, that the chicken egg formula. Did the famous person get famous because they were so talented at acting one way while actually being or living another way? I mean, how can a person come across on TV or films as being so likable, so affable, and yet in real life be such a jerk? Well, I was intrigued by this. I was puzzled by this. Enter the internet age and social media, where everybody has a platform from which they can launch their own acting career. And I'm not talking about for film or TV. I'm talking about acting for life. Acting like, if we don't give the world whatever gift we've got, then the world will simply be a lesser place. Acting like if we don't produce this blog post or this podcast or this video, then, well, then your life, not my life, but your life will suck more. Yeah, that's what I mean about taking ourselves seriously. Wait a minute. What? I'm a man of many questions. Far fewer answers, but many questions. And one question in recent years has come to the forefront. And that was the question. Wait a minute, what? Somebody says something and I will ask that question, wondering if I have heard correctly. Sometimes I'm confused before asking the question. Other times, well, more confused after asking the question. And so last year I registered the domain waitaminutewhat.com. Yeah, go over there, check it out. I hear a modern-day guru with 55,000 Twitter followers on a recently released video talk about his prowess to spot gaps in the market. He said he throws things out to the world, his phrase, he throws things out to the world, and the response is always incredible. I'm not here to be ordinary, he said. And in my head, the minute I hear this, I can hear Chris Farley's Saturday Night Live character, Matt Foley, motivational speaker who lives in a van down by the river. Lottie frickin' da. The guru said that he saw a lot of great stuff out there, but nothing he could resonate with. And so he created what he wanted because, well, he always saw gaps in the market. And people wanted it. Oh, and more. And so he created more. And people continued to love it, he said. Now, he's very soft-spoken. He speaks in very, you know, I'm I'm a loud, flamboyant person compared to this guy. He speaks in soft tones, and he holds forth as a person with a special gift and very modest. You know, he's just very modest and cerebral. You know, he's very thoughtful, one of those guys. Something nobody else on the planet has, by the way. He has a special gift. For $97, he'll sell you a portion of his world-class insight. Then you too can live the good life. I love him. I can't imagine my life without him, really. I have paid money to go hear Tom Peters conduct one-day seminars. I have done it repeatedly because, well, through the years, I have found Tom Peters' insights intriguing, useful even. Yeah, I've read his books. Okay, maybe not all of them, because, come on, the guy got on a roll that very few writers have before. I mean, if you think Seth Godin is prolific, Tom Peters was there before Seth was wearing long pants. And as brilliant as he is, and as brilliant as I think he is, I confess that Tom Peters, he hasn't changed my life. I mean, he's had influence for sure. He's contributed to my professional outlook and my perspective. He has affected how I operate professionally. But I can't pinpoint some targeted behavior that he is solely responsible for. I can't just say, okay, Tom Peters did that for me. I've never said that. Tom Peters is very liberal. I'm very conservative. He is very New England. I am very Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana. He's insightful and strategic, and I have long been attracted to his work and how he delivers his work. It's probably his forthright enthusiasm. I do think that's part of it. But I like him. Now, my wife, not so much. I remember years and years ago, I don't know if I had one of his books on tape or something, but his voice, it was him. And she's like, I don't know how you listen to this guy. How can you listen to this guy? Well, I could listen to this guy a lot. I like him. I'm happy he's done the work. And yes, he's old school, but he's got 111,000 Twitter followers, twice as many as the younger, albeit more soft-spoken, I'm great, just ask me, a professional help guru guy. The tactic is deceptive, but it's effective. And you see it pretty often. You really see it pretty often. Arrogance disguised as humility. I just threw it out to the world, and the world gobbled it up. People wanted more because, well, I have a special, unique message. That's what he said. No, not Tom Peters, the unnamed guru. Tom Peters, he's a storyteller. That's the rub for me. He was a guy back in the early 80s who, as a McKinsey consultant, he had access to a world that was very foreign to me. And so he could tell stories about these world-class business people that, well, I only knew them through the pages of Forbes or Fortune or Business Week. And he wasn't like those female football sideline reporters. You know the ones. Well, any of them. Famous for saying, Coach, what's his name, told me, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, come on. They have to make sure that we know how special they are. I mean, after all, it is all about them. It's not about the game. It's not about the coach. It's, you know, the coach told me. I'm so special, he told me. I know I'm a cynic. I've gone on record. I am a proud, self-professed cynic. I mean, can I help it? I don't know. I haven't tried. I just see what I see. And what I see are a lot of people acting, pretending. Many of them doing it very well. I mean, in fact, some of the most successful doing it far better than anybody else. There's a public persona, and then there's a less public persona. There's the athlete that we love on the field. We love his play. We relate to his personality. He's animated. He's enthusiastic. He's relatable on TV. True story. And then I see him come through a store at a company that I happen to be operating at the time. He and his entourage. Oh, yes, he's been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's quite famous. But he's very different. He's just different. He's barking out orders. He's demanding clerks step and fetch, and he's rebuffing ordinary people. And I just write it off to the demands that are put upon this young man. He's a college kid, and I'm a grown father with two little kids. But I keep watching, and I keep looking, and I keep listening. He's not confident. No, he's not confident. He's conceited. He is the center of his own universe, and he goes out of his way to make sure that everybody knows I'm the king. Well, the king of what? Well, whatever this is that we're in, I'm king. Wherever we're at, wherever I'm at, I'm king. You, well, you're fortunate to even be breathing the same air. It's not a modern phenomenon. No, it's not. It's been around since ancient days. And I know why people do it. Do you? It works. That's why people do it. Now, maybe you've got it or you don't. But I've seen people who didn't have it but found it. I've seen other people who didn't have it but figured it out. And I confess, I have tried. Well, I'll go you one better. I confess that I have actually helped people do it. Now, to a lesser degree. Consultants, other service professionals whose businesses can be enhanced by celebrity or expert status. We all want that, don't we? I want to be an expert. He was a plumber, just a plumber. A few months ago, my wife grew tired of the outdoor faucets that were leaking. Every time she went to water the plants, as much water seemed to leak out from around the knob than through the hose, and so she called a plumber. She didn't know him, just randomly found one that serviced our little area of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He shows up. Turns out he's the owner of the company. Both back faucets in the backyard needed to be replaced, and they were so old you couldn't just replace the guts of them like you can now. Okay, sounds reasonable. He was friendly. He was informative. Within 90 minutes or so, he had the job done, and things, they look great. Brand new connections coming out of the brick, new knobs, everything. Well done. Well done, Mr. Plumber. I'm glad to have met him. I'm happy that my wife got the problem fixed. Good job, everybody. Good job all the way around. I have no reason to think that our plumber was or is world class. I never heard him say, I'm not here to do ordinary. I mean, truth was, I was rather looking forward to an ordinary repair. I didn't need or want some extraordinary repair with an extraordinary bill. Ordinary was exactly what I was looking for. No gold knobs. I don't need that. We just want to get more water out of the hose than on the ground around the faucet. A leak-free faucet. That's my objective, Mr. Plumber. Can you handle that? Well, the repair, it was life-changing. Could any plumber have done the job? I don't know. I suspect there are hundreds, maybe thousands around the Dallas-Fort Worth area who could have. We happen to call this one. Glad that we did. He did a fine job. Okay, well, what does a plumber have to do with an unnamed guru or Norman Vincent Peale or Tom Peters? Nothing. But he's got everything to do with this story of internet popularity and fame and success. Not because he's popular. He's not. But because he's ordinary. Extraordinary is often ordinary with a twist. Not always. But sometimes, well, I'd argue much of the time, a person, an idea, a business, a book, a blog post, a podcast episode, pick it. It could be anything that you deem extraordinary. Look closely. Look very closely. How extraordinary is it? Maybe we have to define extraordinary. I mean, technically, it's just something out of the ordinary. Well, how far out of the ordinary? I don't know. There's probably quite a range out of the ordinary. I mean, I guess something could be way out of the ordinary, while something else could be only slightly out of the ordinary. Okay, stay with me. And you got to go to the blog post. I've got extensive show notes and links, but more importantly, some terrific cartoons that you got to see. Just go to leaningtowardwisdom.com/. Go to search the website, type in the number 4031. It'll take you straight there. There's a photograph of Donald. Donald is sitting on the porch. The caption simply says, Donald does his brain exercises on the back porch. And you're just going to have to see, you're just going to have to see what Donald does for his brain exercises. So stay with me. I warned you at the outset that I was going to be rambling a little bit, but I'm going to connect the dots. I always do. That's how I roll. You know that. I am Mr. Dot Connector. That's me. Keeps my brain nimble. Okay, well, it keeps my brain more nimble than it would be otherwise, so that'll tell you something. My plumber rolls up in one of those fancy Sprinter vans. Have you seen these things? There's a link at the, in the show notes. They're cool. They're really cool. They've been around for a few years. Well, this van was wrapped in advertising that was extolling his plumbing prowess. He was super friendly. And he happily told us exactly what we needed to have happen in order to fix our problem. And he told us how much he charged per faucet, and then he gave us what seemed to be an honest price break since he was going to be fixing two of them. He told us how long it would take, and he set about to do the work. And all in all, it was a nice experience. It could have been worse. I mean, he could have pulled up in a rat trap pickup truck reeking of urine. He could have had a gruff demeanor. He could have said that he didn't know how much it would cost until he started digging into things and taking things apart. I mean, he could have done many, many things differently, and our experience would have reflected the differences, but he didn't. And I'm a business guy. The plumber did a good job. But I'm not talking about him because he was spectacular. I don't even think he was necessarily extraordinary. But he didn't have to be. I was having two outside faucets repaired. I wasn't having a Las Vegas-style outdoor fountain installed. He did good. I was happy. That was good. Books are proof. I've read thousands of them. Many good ones. Tons of bad ones. A few great ones. Yeah, let's exclude the Bible from this conversation because you already know how I feel about that one. You've read books, you've read articles, you've read PDFs, we all have. You've listened to books on tapes, you've watched videos, you've taken online courses, so have I. It's all content. Some of it educational, some inspirational, some entertaining, or attempting to be. How often have you consumed anything? Here's the question. How often have you consumed something, anything, that has changed your life? Now, you're expecting me to tell you that you haven't, right? No, you're wrong. I'll argue that everything has changed your life in some way. Some ways are small, mostly insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Like my faucets. They don't leak anymore. It's life-changing. You don't think so? Ask my wife. Like the circle of people that you've met, you've interacted with, affects your life. Even bad books have impacted mine. I don't think about my old leaky faucets until I turn the knobs on the new ones. 2 years from now? You know, 2 years from now, I suspect I'll turn those same knobs and I won't think about the time when we had to have them fixed because the new is going to wear off. And other things are going to enter my line of sight. Other things are going to get my attention. I can't honestly remember the last extraordinary thing I read or watched or listened to. And I read and I watch and I listen a lot. Okay, exercise. You ready? Stop right now. Okay, you can finish the podcast, but do this exercise. Commit to do this exercise. Stop right now. If you please, just make sure you come back. Look around. Go check your Google Plus page and see the stories that are being posted there. You don't have a Google Plus page. What are you doing? You're clearly a technical idiot. If you're going to be with the technical crowd and you're going to hang where the cool kids do, the techno geeks, you got to be at Google Plus. Get over there. Go check your Facebook news feed. And while you're at it, you might as well look at Twitter. Go ahead, look at Twitter. Well, shoot fire. Go ahead and check your inbox, too. Might as well. Look at all those newsletters that you subscribe to. And take as long as you'd like. Not too long. I don't want you to forget about me here. But take a look around at all that stuff. Okay, here's the challenge. You ready? Write down one, just one, extraordinary thing that you think will change your life forever. And I don't mean like my fixed faucets have changed my life forever. I mean something more meaningful. I mean something deeper. I mean something more profound. I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it up to you to define those terms, meaningful, deeper, profound. One thing. Tough, isn't it? And for good reason. With so much being said, with so much being recorded, with so much being written, it's growing increasingly more difficult to be remarkable or extraordinary. At least in substance. Say goodbye, substance. Hello, style. The Kardashians have it right. Yeah, they have it right. They embrace the two-word strategy. No, I haven't given it to you yet. They embrace the two-word strategy as well as anybody. But there are many others, some who are less overt about it. The guru who throws things out to the world and gets back this resounding response, he gets it. He practices it. Lots of people in many different spaces, they practice it. And some of them come by it naturally. Others, they have figured it out. And still others, they were taught it by a mentor. Well, what is it? I'll tell you about how I tried to teach it to my son, a hockey player. Well, and I tried to teach it to a college hockey team. Body language is a big part of it. Facial expressions, yeah, those count too. It's really about behavior. Yeah, it's just really about behavior. The world is filled with statements that they sound good and true, but they aren't. You've heard them. I mean, I'll just give you one. It's the journey, not the destination. Well, if you've ever taken a long road trip with little kids, tell them that. Yeah, go ahead. Try it. Use all of your persuasive powers. Steve Kloida, the prospecting expert, and Jeffrey Gittimer, famed sales trainer, with the help of Zig Ziglar, they couldn't get that done. I mean, Zig was great. Dallas guy. Steve and Jeffrey, they are very skillful men in sales and persuasion. But listen, my money's on my 3-year-old granddaughter, Kinsley. She'll never be convinced that a journey to Six Flags, even though it's not that far, is more important than being there. No, it's not. But some sayings have a larger truth attached to them. I'll give you one. Fake it till you make it. People say, well, that doesn't work. Well, that's because they haven't figured it out. Or it's because that they want to think it won't work. I mean, how could it work? It couldn't. Can it work? Yes, it can work. Sure, it can work. It does work. It works often. There's another great cartoon over at the website at the show notes. I'm telling you, you're missing it. The best part of the show notes are the Ballard Street cartoons that I often use. Alan is laying on the bed. He is face down. And there's a calculator, an eraser, a pencil, and some papers. And his wife is at the foot of the bed with her hands clasped together. And she says to him, Alan, if accountancy were that easy, everyone would do it. No, the pro athlete isn't faking it. He can't. But he can still embrace the strategy, and he still can gain more popularity and more money, by the way. Highly technical people, they can't fake it either. But like the athlete, the ones who practice this, yes, they will soar above even those with greater competency. But other people, in less skill-based pursuits, or pursuits where maybe skill can be tough to detect, or where it can be more easily masked, they can use it with great success as well. Go talk to a recording engineer. A good recording engineer. They will tell you how powerful the strategy is and how well it works for an attractive female singer who can't really sing. Tom Petty, he did an entire record almost devoted to the phenomenon, The Last DJ. My wife and I went to see that particular show. Of course, Tom, you know, he's got an axe to grind with the music industry, and well, he should, based on the history that I know. Watch a single episode of The Housewives of Atlanta or The Housewives of L.A. Have you seen these shows? No, I'm not a fan. I'm sitting here, you know, these are late night or way too early morning kind of things for me. sitting here and I'm doing some stuff. I can't sleep and I'm flipping around and the Housewives of Atlanta come on. And then there's an episode of the Housewives of LA. So I catch an episode of each one. Trust me when I tell you this, don't even waste your time watching. You will see it in vivid action if you watch either one of these shows. Sickeningly so. It's just a two-word strategy, just two. If you Google it, Drake comes up as the first result. But Drake didn't come up with the strategy. He just made a song about it. I guess maybe he made it popular among the hip-hop crowd. I wouldn't know, being as I'm not so plugged into the hip-hop movement. I know that stuns you to no end. Gary Vaynerchuk, he says it a lot. You see it in his public speaking. He uses it in the context that I appreciate the most, with honesty. Are you ready? It's just two words. Own it. Own it. And not everybody can do it. Not everybody can do it well. Well, some can't do it at all. I repeatedly told my hockey-playing son and my college roller hockey team to act. You've got to act if you're going to win, I would tell them, especially once we got to a national tournament. And I would go on to explain how when they got frustrated with an opponent, the key was to not show it. Act. Fake it. Behave as though you are unfazed. It doesn't bother you. Oh, and they would whine and they would say, but it does bother us, coach. Well, I know, but don't let them know that. Act like it doesn't bother you. Don't give them the satisfaction of knowing that they're getting to you. You've got to learn to act. Fake it. Eventually, you won't be faking it. Well, you won't be faking it as much, hopefully. I coached it a lot. We talked about it often. And they were winners. They were skilled. They were experienced. But it made them better every time they followed my instruction to own it. Owning it means believing it. Owning it means embracing it. Owning it means reveling in it. It's not easy. It's like accountancy. If it were easy, everybody would do it. And everybody doesn't do it. But the rewards for those who do learn how, the rewards can be spectacular. They may not be, but they can be. Don't do it. Well, don't do it and you're battling the, well, you're not battling the, you're battling the odds for success, but you're going heavily with the odds for failure. False modesty appearing real. Yeah, that can work. No modesty appearing equally real. Hello, Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah, that works too. You've not been paying attention, have you? You haven't been paying close enough attention to popular culture. Being gracious, it's all about context. It's all about the stage. Don't think so? What's in your wallet? Alec Baldwin. Poor Alec, who, by the way, I think is a terrific performer. He gets kicked to the curb by Capital One for behaving poorly. Samuel L. Jackson, come on down. Doesn't Alec come across like a guy that you'd like to hang with? I mean, doesn't he seem, he just seems like a lot of fun, doesn't he? Well, unless you're a photographer. I really enjoyed his podcast too. The podcast, you didn't know he had a podcast, did you? He had a podcast. There hasn't been an episode for a long time. Here's the Thing is the podcast. There's a link in the show notes. The guy was brilliant on 30 Rock. And I thought his work in the Capital One bank card commercials was better than Samuel L. Now, start to say I wouldn't say that to Samuel L., but I guess I just did. Now, Samuel L. doesn't listen. I'm afraid of him. He's a scary dude, isn't he? That's his persona. I don't think he's scary at all because you see him in talk shows and different guy, right? Hey, he's an actor. It's just one sliver of evidence that privately people aren't always a mirror image of their persona. I mean, I don't blame Alec. I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anything. I think it's just context. We see Alec's character in commercials or in TV or film, and we create a picture. We create this image. He does a great job of drawing it out for us. He paints us the picture, and we look at it and we buy in mostly because he owns it. It pays the bills. And we're entertained, right? I mean, we're entertained. On a much smaller scale, you see it every day online. That blogger whose popularity that you most admire, well, she figured it out. She owns it. Yeah, once a cubicle dweller, she figured out that she needed to up her game. Confidence, once lacking, was faked at first. Now it's not fake at all. No, she's radiating with confidence now, bordering on arrogance. Oh, but she keeps it in check, even though today, 3 years removed from a cubicle where her boss barely knew her name, she's got a Twitter following that rivals, well, it rivals any B-list celebrity. She now knows she's special. She doesn't fear, well, okay, yeah, she's got insecurities all like the rest of us, but she knows she's special. Well, she's going to tell you she's special because she knows it. Her words are more popular, shared on more social media sites and bragged on by more people because something turned, something changed. Now, she won't tell you the secret, but she knows what it is. Over 3 years ago, she decided, you know, I may as well own it. And at first she struggled. It was hard. It was really hard at first, but she kept at it. And it got easier and it got easier, and she got more accomplished at it. She changed how she talked. She changed how she thought, mainly about herself. She moved from that aw shucks kind of talking to, yeah, I decided to try this, and thousands of people have told me how much they loved it and how badly they want more. And we all sit over here on the sidelines going, you go, girl, you go, girl. Owning it works, but only if you stay with it long enough to believe it and live it until you make it. And then once you make it, well, then you can take, well, you can take things to a whole new level like the real superstars do. Warning, it's a lot harder than it looks, which is why not everybody can do it. And it's why not everybody does do it. And it's why not everybody enjoys the same degree of success or popularity or fame. What's in your wallet? I'm guessing not nearly enough.
I'm a little bit of this, little bit of that, a bad, bad boy gone good, good boy gone bad. It's all business in the front with the party in the back. And I'm a lazy Sunday, manic Monday, Pavarotti singing with Jay-Z's DJ, a world-class flirt who comes home a warm woman. Man, I am lost, I am found, and everything in between, but it all makes sense to me. That's just who I am.
That's just who I am. It's a great song. The singer is Chris Mann. The song was written by Blue, B-L-E-U. Blue is from Boston. I don't think he is anymore. Blue and Chris Mann wrote the song. Blue produced it, threw it up on his SoundCloud over at Bluetopia. You can find this track over at soundcloud.com/blue, B-L-E-U, topia, B-L-E-U, T-O-P-I-A. The song is Who I Am. Chris Mann and Blue, they're both ridiculously talented. I'm a big fan, big fan. You should buy Chris Mann's record. You should buy Blue's records. I like them both, but I like this kind of stuff. So that's just who I am. Own it. You just need to be convinced that that's just who you are. You are special. No, you're not short bus special or trophy worthy special, but, you know, come on. No, don't Don't take yourself too seriously, but take life seriously. And there's something to confidence. So in all of the sarcasm and the snarkiness, you know there's a truth to the message of today's story. It is a two-word strategy for improved popularity and fame and other forms of success, and you know it works. Own it. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website that I own is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Type in the number 4031 and you'll find this show. Dallas, Fort Worth is where I'm coming from. That's just who I am, a man sitting inside the Yell Studio.
Cause I'm a little bit of this, little bit of that, bad, bad boy gone good, good boy gone bad, but I know you love me just the way.